Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is World Form Zen Fighting Champion John Chung, and you're listening to the AMAA Legends and Pioneers Radio Blog Show with Professor Gary Lee and the Sport Karate Museum Archives, protecting the history, one warrior at a time. Enjoy.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the AMAA Masters Radio Network and Parts Unknown Show. We've got a jam-packed show for you tonight, lots of special guests with the Wolverine, of course, and special guest Daryl Stewart, and my very special guest tonight, interview with Mr. Mike Gilmore from Kickstart. But first of all, I'm very honored always to have him on my show, my producer, Hunty Jesse Bowen, to talk about an upcoming event on August the 3rd, and also a very, very special book that we've worked on. Hunty Jesse Bowen, are you on the air, sir?
Yes, sir, I am. And how are you doing?
I'm doing incredible. Just finished the super show and the incredible show we had there. And big thank you to Century and Leon and Mr. Webb and, of course, Mike Dillard and all the guys that treated me VIP. I was just so honored to be a part of that. And I'm just now recovering, but I'm here on a Tuesday night with you. But you've got some exciting news, and I want to share it with my listeners who are listening, my regular listeners and my new ones that are just tuning in tonight.
Well, you know, we have the Who's Who. We started back here a few years ago, and that turned out to be a great book. We started something totally unique, something totally different. And I believe that, you know, the most important thing out of the series of books we just finished was giving people an opportunity to reflect upon themselves from their past, you know, their present, so they can look into the future. And his books were, you know, they were really inspired by, you know, of course, my teacher and Dale Brooks. They put together these books back in the early 80s when, you know, we had the magazines and we really knew who the competitors were, who the martial artists were, you know, who were the top 10. You know, there was a book out there when everybody was aware of, you know, sport karate and everything was happening. And they put the book together in that time. And then, like I said, the book ran for, I think, about 3 or 4 years, and then it ended. And, you know, I put the first book back together in 2015 just to honor Grandmaster Wellendorf and Dale Brooks had passed away, just to honor them. That was the only purpose of it. The purpose wasn't what it's actually turned into. But it, through the inspiration of the Battle of Atlanta and Joe Corley and Jeff Smith being promoted to 10th degree black belt and all the synergy that was in that room the evening that they were promoted, it felt really good. And we wanted to try to duplicate that energy and feeling in Charlotte, and we did. And it was a great event. Martial artists, you know, it was a feeling. It was not about the ego of what people have done. You had people that had not seen each other in 5, 10, 15 years coming together, catching up, reestablishing their relationships. And then in 17, we launched the new book with the cover with Bill Clark, Bill Wallace, Jeff Smith, and Joe Corley, sort of celebrating the PK and the Battle of Atlanta and those guys in that era that were responsible for making some things happen. And that book brought forth a whole new level of energy. And, you know, we honored Grandmaster Ree, and I'm so glad that we did, because the whole evening was, the only way to explain it was a spiritual evening. And I'm so glad that we did it. I'm so glad that we had the opportunity. And this is what the book is about. It's a unique tool. It's not a tool out there quite like it, but it was designed to help martial artists not only to tell people about who they are, but to tell their students. It's a history book. We're working to get it into libraries. So it's a very powerful tool that we developed, but it's all developed on only one principle, and that is a principle of helping people to realize where they are in their lives, to check in that they can make improvements, and then they can take those tools and help to inspire others.
Well, I appreciate that so much, what you're sharing with me. And you mentioned something that's close to my heart, and I remember distinctly talking to you about this maybe a year ago or even 2 years ago, about everything growing up about America was really cool when I first came here from Hawaii. But I remember going to the libraries of the middle school and the high schools, and there was always a Popular Mechanics and a Boys Life magazine. And I remember us talking about, wouldn't it be really, really, really special to have our book into every middle school and high school library in America in the public schools? And that's not that far from being the impossible, especially with the marketing it is the way it is today, and the ideas that you have, and the directors you have to make it happen. So that's exciting to me personally. Now, how would someone get involved with getting in touch with you and finding out how they can get a copy or even getting involved with a book?
Well, you know, this year we're working on Balboa Press doing the final publishing of the book, and Balboa Press is actually a publishing company for Tony Robinson and Jack Canfield, which are, you know, phenomenal, world-renowned motivational speakers. Where we're trying to move the book is from being just a karate book to that it can integrate into other categories, into motivational and transformational. And that's the thing that we're really trying to get people to write about. You know, how did martial arts motivate you? How did it, you know, create, how did it make transformations in your life? You know, that's the key point. And being involved in the book, what we actually do is we're gathering our sources from several sources. And number one is the referral source. And since the book is really new and the concept is really new and so many people, you know, don't know about the book, that we've actually hired a marketing company, and they're part of a research team that we're, you know, reaching out to martial arts schools in each state, and they're calling people, telling about the book, and they're now, you know, if those people have an interest in getting in the book, you know, they submit their bio, your name to us, we send them a nomination, they send out the bio, we review as best as possible the bio before we make a nomination. So that's how it goes, is that in order to be in the book, you need to be nominated. I have so many people that ask me, well, why isn't this particular person in the book? And I said, well, they weren't nominated. So just because you have done something at one point in time doesn't necessarily mean that you're going into the, that you're featured in the book. And we want to keep the book very much the way it is now.
Hussey Bowen, I like that concept a lot, because in so many things that are going on in the past 10 years, anybody can do anything to be a part of anything, and anybody can be any part of anything that anybody creates. And the process to be able to be nominated by a Mr. Smith or Mr. Wallace or Mr. Corley or Mr. Bowen, it's really an honor. So I appreciate you taking time tonight and sharing that concept of it. And I have a special going on, that, you know, correct? If someone calls in tonight for the book and they call you directly at 919-618-8075, you're not only they'll be going to order the book, but they can also get a free T-shirt. Is that correct?
Right. Part of our promotion is Proud to Be a Martial Artist. And so these shirts will be available, our nominees and inductees, they're going to be getting these shirts and being able to give them out to their students who purchase books. And that's what it's about. It's Proud to Be a Martial Artist. That's going to be our thing for the entire year, is Proud to Be a Martial Artist. We really want to beat that drum of, you know, that we are someone special and we are proud of who we are.
Super. All right. Well, thank you so much, sir. And I'll be looking forward to talking to you in many, many days ahead about coming up in August 3rd. And I'm going to be plugging that here in a few minutes. So thank you, sir. God bless you. Everybody, I want to say I want to say a big thank you to Hussey Jesse Bowen and him taking time of his busy schedule to share with him the concept of the book. You hear me talk about it every week, but he really explains it in very detail and talks from his heart. And that's what I really like, working with that gentleman. and not only because he's a great martial artist, but he really cares about the generations that don't understand where we all came from. That's why we do this show with the AMA, Masters Radio Network. But, you know, tonight's show is pretty special. I go back with this guy a few years back when I first came to Texas, and before I was actually adopted by the Texans. I paid my dues with this man in the ring and out of the ring, and I was very fortunate to watch him be a part of a great team called the Wild Boys. And, you know, he comes from an area of Texas called Austin, Texas, and he was around the early years of what we called the AOK, which was the Amateur Organization of Karate. And tonight I have a very special guest tonight, my dear friend, my old Texas compadre, Mr. the one and only Mike Fillmore from Kickstart. Mike, are you there, buddy?
Yes, sir. How are you doing tonight?
Hey, Mike. Thanks for being on the show. I appreciate you taking time from your schedule. I know you're teaching full-time, and you work for Mr. Norris, and you got all these things going on. You just finished your tournament in May, but you got time from your Hawaii friend, and I appreciate that so much. How's things going?
Things going
good?
Great.
I mean, good.
Enjoying
good.
The summer.
Now, right off the bat, I got to hit you with a face with a right cross that you didn't block with someone that's really special in my heart that you've allowed me to adopt, and that's Cindy Key. I know she's your black belt, and she is such a special joy to me every year at the Living Legends. I really enjoy her. I got to ask you, was she a hard student to teach?
At first, she had come to me from another school. In fact, she was referred to me by Moses Williams. He referred her to me because she was at another Taekwondo school, and she came to me and took a little while for me to break some of her habits to learn my way, but she came around and she became one of the best I've had.
You know what? Do you know Mr. Colonel Phil Torres, my dear friend that helps me with the Armed Forces Awards at the museum? He's a Silver Star winner at that. Let me tell you something. He put me to the side one year that Cindy competed in the pro division for kata wars as a empty hand combatant, and he said that girl could do kata. So that's a really good compliment. And I said, well, she comes from Mike Fillmore, and eventually maybe someday you'll get to meet him. So. But, yeah, Colonel Phil Torres gave a high compliment to Cindy. But let's come back to you a little bit. Hey, how did you get started, and what year did you make black belt exactly?
Well, I started way back in the old day. I think I started in 73. And my very first instructor was Mr. Lewis Arnold. He was my very first instructor.
Bad dude, man. Bad dude from Joe Alvarado. Yeah. Tough fighter.
Yes, sir. He is my very first instructor. And I trained with him for a few years. And then I lost track of him for a little while. And I trained under a gentleman called Mr. Lamb. I trained Wing Chun with him. And then
Alan Lamb?
More years.
Alan Lamb?
What?
Alan
Pardon
Lamb?
Me?
Alan
no,
Lamb?
Alan.
Okay.
No, it wasn't Alan Lamb.
Okay.
In fact, it's too long ago. I trained with him in Wing Chun, and then I got with Abel Villarreal. So it took me, I don't know, it took me at least, how many years was that? 10, 12 years to get my black belt.
You're asking a Hawaiian to do math? Come on, man. Give me a break.
It took me a choice, because, you know, back in those days, you couldn't get a black belt unless you were 18 years old. They didn't give black belt to kids back then.
Yeah, absolutely. Garrett made history when he made black belt at an age. But, you know, hey, man, 12 years, that's unheard of today. Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah.
Now, what was it like training under Abel? Because Abel was an animal, wasn't he?
Yes, he is.
Oh, he is. I'm going to say he was. He is an animal. Yeah, yeah. But he was a breaker. He was a fighter. You got to be around all those Austin animals too, the Duffies and the Aberdeens and golly bum, lots of like Moses. Moses is a great fighter. So
you know that's one of the great things that I was saying. That was one of the great things coming up in Austin, Texas. I had the chance to be around all the great people. I Abel Oreal, Joe Alvarado,
yeah.
Brian Duffy, Michael Everdeen, you know, all those guys.
Sure.
And it was
yeah.
quite a community and a family. It's a privilege.
How did the Wild Boys come about? Because that team was pretty impressive for a while. I remember you guys were always in the finals, And how did that come about?
So Texas Wild Boys, we got started 1 year. I think it was the Masters in, let's see, I think that was in 1993. You know, the NBL and the TNT had just merged. And
we're
going to do team fighting. And Larry Lockhart came up to me and says, hey, do you want to get into this team fighting thing? I said, it looks like fun. I said, we just need one more person.
Larry Lockhart Senior or Bam? Which one? Bam or Larry Lockhart Senior?
Bam.
Okay.
Bam. So he says, you can be the heavyweight, and I'll be middleweight. We just need a lightweight. And so we found Nick Juarez. And
yeah,
as you
that
know, from there, the Wild Boys were born. And we had two teams. We had myself, Bam, and Nick Juarez. Then we had another, I guess you call it a B-team alternates with Mike Hill, Johnny Capato, and Robert Villegas, Corpus Christi. We had
cool.
quite a few.
You know, those years, 93, 94, I was not only the arbitrator, I was on that first national Texas team with Chris Minster, Tony Lopez, Jennifer Obles, and Danielle Dixon. And those are some good memories
yeah.
for all of us. Now, one of the memories I have with you particularly is you're one of those crazy brothers of mine that I guess I can say you love me, and you laid down and let me cut cucumbers on you in Guatemala.
Yeah.
Remember that night?
Yes, I do. Yes, I do.
That was 5,000 screaming Guatemalans and Spanish people all together under one roof. That was pretty crazy.
That was incredible. For the people who weren't there, it was indescribable. I mean, it was indescribable.
And the thunderstorm.
Remember, it was
a thunderstorm that night, too. It was like a movie.
Right.
It was a huge thunderstorm. Yeah. Hey, you want to hear a story that was really funny behind the scenes? I never told you this.
But.
Because you helped me make me who I am today, Mike, for laying down like that. God bless you. I love you so much. But I got to tell you a story behind that story. That day I had a good day, man. I won four first places and a second or something, and I was real tired. And Bill Rozaki, you know, Eric's instructor from Hawaii, my buddy, said I could go back to the hotel, and he said he'd tell Eric that I'd left. Well, he didn't tell nobody. And so I was gone for almost 3 hours. And when I got back, everybody thought I was kidnapped, seriously. And if you remember, they did a big billboard. It was Wayne Wynn, Ray Romero Mosquita, and myself on that Pepsi billboard, right? And they go, anybody that's puts out there and they're famous, or well-known, they could be kidnapped. So Eric and his people thought that I'd been kidnapped, seriously, because Bill had told nobody where I'd gone. So I go back, and all of a sudden Eric says, well, you're not leaving my sight. And he puts this guy with me with this AR-15, and I have to walk around with him until that night when we get on stage. The guy's replaced with Stuart Schumann. And I'm thinking, okay, this is cool. And I put my arm around Stuart and say, hey, man, I really appreciate you. You're coming here, and then I feel the 45s. And he's wearing two 45s on the side of him. And I said, Mr. Schumer, why are you packing for? He says, hey, bro, I'm always packing.
Yeah.
And then
we did our thing.
Yeah. It was crazy, man.
I remember that.
And then walking from the restaurant,
going on.
You're thinking that we were being cased, you think, walking from that restaurant?
I know that we were because, you know, they were looking at us real good and talking to themselves and pointing at us and giving us the eyes. And so when we walked out and they started following us, I said, they're probably going to try something. Because, you know,
it's crazy thinking that a brother, okay, and a Hawaii boy in the middle of Guatemala City would walk by themselves down the lonely streets of Guatemala City at 1 o'clock in the morning. But, you know, and honestly, we were kind of saying, I remember what we were saying. We were saying, man, what's going to happen if someone jumps on us? Are we going to be able to really kick somebody's ass? Excuse my language. I apologize for saying that. But I get excited talking to you, Mike.
Earlier that week, a guy tried to rob me in the grocery store. Yeah, he tried to rob me in the grocery store. And he was reaching his pants trying to grab something. And I told him, whatever you pull out of your pants, I'm going to stick it where you don't want it to go. Of course, I'm messing. But, that was kind of wild. Guatemala was pretty wild. I got some other stories, but maybe that's for another time. But
sure.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to go right into the fact, how long have you been working for Kickstart and our dear friend, Mr. Chuck Norris, and the incredible program that you do working with kids that could never, ever pay for karate classes? I mean, I don't know if you realize this, but back in the early 90s when they developed it here in Houston, I went around to all the schools, and I literally took Mr. Norris's program and introduced it a lot. Of course, I was very close to Zendo Kai and the early years of Kick Drugs Out of America. And I'm so proud of you, Mike, because I know that you worked very close to that group. How long have you been working with them, and what exactly do you do, and what school do you work at?
I've been with the Kickstart program going on 11 years now, and I teach middle schoolers, that's 6th, 7th, and 8th grade, and we introduce them to the martial arts. And this is the age that we find that they're, you know, kids are very influential, and then we try to reach them before they pick up any habits that wouldn't be good for them. And right now I'm working in the Central Texas area, in the Austin area.
Well, I got to ask you, because I haven't talked to you, Mike, in quite a while, were you near any area where that bomber was a few months ago?
Yeah, I mean, the school I was at then was Mendez Middle School, and in fact, the bomb had went off literally a mile and a half, probably not even that far from the school that I worked at the time.
Well, I've got to ask you, Mike, because you know, I got a lot of listeners that are young and old, and I'm going to ask, how do you handle your students and tell them how to handle that? I mean, how do you talk to students after something like that happens so close?
You know, it's that was a crazy, very crazy time. That was a very crazy time here in Austin because, you know, we had, you know, Austin's a big city now, but for people who have been around, who were born and raised, it's a real tight-knit community. And I knew a couple of people, in fact, you know, Moses Williams' student is one of the ones that got killed by that bomb attack.
Oh, gee. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
And by the way, my listeners, Moses Williams is one of the great Texas Karate competitors, a Golden Greek winner, just a great competitor. Kaji Kempo under Tony Lazic and Dan Baker. All my condolences. I didn't realize that. I'm so sorry.
Yes, it was one of his black belts, Raylan, who got killed in one of the bomb attacks. And, you know, I have to just speak to my students because, you know, a bomb had blown up a mile and a half from the school. They didn't know what to think. They didn't know where to go. And I was just saying, hey, don't pick up any packages. And when you go out in a group, watch where you're walking. And, you know, I was saying stay away from fences because, you know, they were putting trip wires up. And it was a very difficult time for all us Austinites because we didn't know what was going on. They were, you know, it seemed like they were targeting minorities. And, you know, the school I worked at was, you know, 95-98% Hispanic. And, you know, that really, you know, it hit home. It hit home.
Mike, let me ask you a question. And, you know, because I'm just interested in this. When the kids come up to you and they ask you about, say, Mr. Fillmore, how can you explain someone doing this? How do you handle that? I mean, I'm putting you on the spot. I know I am, but man, I know you're right there in the trenches with these kids, and I know that you got to. I know who you are, Mike. I know how you handle it, but I'd like to just kind of explain it to my listeners how you would handle a kid that comes up and asks you that.
Well, when they ask me, you know, I got to remember how you phrase the question again, so I can.
Imagine I'm a kid. The bomb went off a mile away. I'm at school. You know, kids today, they worry about going to school every day. We didn't have to worry about that. So they go,
no,
Mr.
No,
we Fillmore.
Didn't.
Mr. Fillmore, I'm so nervous about coming to school. How do I get over this nervousness about coming to school? How do you handle a kid like that? I mean, because I imagine everyone wants to ask that question, but maybe if someone was shy, they won't ask it. I mean,
well, that is a very tough question. Sometimes, yeah, we like answers. But what I had to tell my students was that I told them that with these bombings, more than likely, this person who is setting off these bombs are going off the people that they know. I don't think that it was random. But then I also turned around and told them this, you know, the life that you lead is really going to determine what happens to you in life. Because, you know, this also goes down to self-defense. You know, they say, what if somebody comes after me with a knife or somebody comes after me with a gun? And what I have to tell them is if you live a good life and you don't try to go out and hurt anyone deliberately. You don't go out and try to do things wrong or steal from people. You would rarely have to worry in life that someone's coming after you with a knife or a gun when you live a good life. It's when you live that bad life is when you have to worry about things like that. And, you know, that gave a lot of comfort.
Sure.
Knowing that they didn't have to.
I'm sorry to put you on the spot, Mike, to ask you a question like that, but, you know, It bothers me what's going on in America. I mean, I think there's been over 38 mass school shootings in the past few years. It's incredible what's going on. And you're right there in the trenches, like with the kids. And I know that you're one of the good guys. Hey, Mike, I'm going to ask you to kind of hang on the air a little bit. I'm going to
sure.
do some things. We'll come back with you. And we're going to play the Legends Name Game, where I'm going to hit you with some names. And you got 2 minutes, like a sparring match, which you love to do. Just don't throw that spin back kick because you had a spinning wheel kick. I remember that was from you hit somebody, you're not going to Utah.
Yeah.
It was a pretty darn good kick. You still throw that kick?
Yes, I do. At least I try.
I bet you do. So anyway, I'll be back in a few minutes with you, and we'll play the Legends Name Game. Okay.
Okay.
Okay, super, buddy. Hey, everybody, we're with Mike Fillmore from Austin, Texas, who works with the Kickstart program. And, of course, that's Mr. Chuck Norris's program, works with kids who really aren't really a part of the karate system. They maybe can't afford to pay for a karate class, but the Kickstart program is in there and works with these kids, and they got an incredible program. Incredible program. One of the best group of karate kids I've ever seen perform in open competitions and also demonstrations. So we'll be right back with Mike Fillmore. Hey, did Daryl Stewart ever get on the line? Daryl Stewart, are you there?
Yeah, I'm sitting
hey,
there listening
brother.
To you.
How you doing, Daryl Stewart from the NBL, arbitrator, Bigfoot, surfer, and partner in crime with me at the Sport Karate Museum? How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you doing tonight? Sound like y'all having a good time on the radio?
Well, I'm having a good time because we got you on the line. And we're going to be talking about something for a few minutes here. And we've got a dear friend, Severa Guerrera, and yourself are putting together the Universal Martial Arts Hall of Fame, which I'm an alumni of. And this year you've asked me to be a part of a seminar on Friday and also set up the Sport Karate Museum booth. But tell me a little bit about it and tell me about Severa Guerrera and his interesting adventure into this Hall of Fame adventure that he does.
Well, Professor Severa Guerrera, he's a professional martial artist. He's been around for a long, long time. He's touched a lot of people's lives all across the world. He's really a nice guy. He's Garrett's House of Warriors, him and his son Adam. They do a great job. They teach. They got some great people. And the Universal Martial Arts Hall of Fame recognizes people from all over the world. And it's I'm really just happy to be part of that, along with Master Fillmore. He's our tournament director also. And he'll be there with also with Jonathan Abaya from the Philippines. He'll be there. And
you've had some incredible, Daryl, you've had some incredible performers, including yourself, actually perform. I know you were a sword man, and you performed, but you've had Ovid Rodriguez, you've had Vito Rodriguez, you've had, of course, like you said, Mike Fillmore. Got one of my favorite competitors of all time, Dr. Steger, who performs his sword and his son. And you've had some incredible, because you have a tournament along with the awards and the banquet, correct?
Yep, we have a tournament Saturday, and we got that night we have the inductions, and everybody's welcome to come to the tournament. It's going to be a lot of fun, and we hope that everybody can be there. That's on the August the 16th, 17th, and 18th in Houston, Texas, at the Marriott South, right by Hobby Airport. And we look forward to
it. And if they want more information, they can contact Severa Guerrera on Facebook, or contact you on Facebook. And also they can contact me on Facebook to find out more information at the Universal Martial Arts Hall of Fame.
Yes, sir.
I'm looking forward to the seminar this year. I've got special surprises. I'm going to teach people how to break toilet paper and bite bananas. Pretty cool, huh?
That's awesome, man.
I'm gonna teach the deadly art of American Dote. I'm a black belt owner, Master Ken. Did I tell you that? Yeah. I made black belt under Master Ken. I had to walk on rice paper and katana blades at the Super Show. It was pretty tough. So well, if you believe that, I got some swamp land in Arizona, too. Okay. Hey, well, Daryl, thank you for being on the air with me and pumping. And like I said, for more information for the Universal Black Belt Martial Arts Hall of Fame, contact Daryl Stewart or Severa Guerrera on the Facebook or Professor Gary Lee at the Sport Karate Museum. Thank you, Daryl. God bless you, buddy. Hey, a big shout out to my dear friend, Mr. Wade Jenkins, who owns Real Deal Martial Arts Supply. One of the best uniforms made. We are a big supporter of them. They support the Sport Karate Museum and the Kata Wars. And this year, the winner of the Jim Harrison's America's Challenge three-man tag team black belt match, they'll walk out with a Real Deal uniform. For more information on, I would have to say probably one of the best uniforms made, cut for a traditional stylist, 979-922-5569. That's for Mr. Wade Jenkins. And make sure you tell them that Professor Garrett sent you in. Now, I've got a special segment that I actually started with my dear friend Willie Hicks. And he's still around. But, you know, Willie's fighting here for, I think, the next 3 weeks in a row, so I'm not going to bother him a little bit. But I do have another friend who's also my student, and his name is Dean Piles. And we call him the Wolverine. And he says what he means, and he means what he says. And tonight we have a very interesting subject. And I'd like to bring on the Wolverine. Dean Piles, are you there, sir?
Yes, sir, I'm here.
Well, Dean Piles, welcome back. This is our third installment of the Wolverine and Professor Gary Lee's I Don't Get It, I Don't Understand segment. And tonight we're going to be talking about something really, really interesting, and I'll kind of lead it up for people who don't understand. Imagine your orange belt or your green belt student who you've worked really hard to go through the beginner and intermediate stages, and you've worked them on their katas to present themselves, and you always let them understand there's advanced katas to learn, and those advanced katas are earned through the tenure learning how to do the beginning katas. So therefore, when you go to competition and you enter your division, which is either white belt, yellow belt, blue belt, green belt, and below, you expect to go against other competitors who do the same level of katas for a white belt, yellow belt, orange belt, green belt, blue belt position. But instead, someone goes out there and they enter themselves in a yellow belt division and they say, Kakudai, or they say, Super Impri, or they say, Jihad, some black belt kata, or Gay Beck, some Korean black belt kata, and they do that black belt kata in front of these judges, and the judges, because they see advanced technique, even though there's no bunkai behind it, they give them a higher score. Therefore, that student who does a black belt kata beats that student who does a regular kata in their regular division. There is something wrong with that, Wolverine. How do you feel about it?
Yeah, I mean, you know, this is the bad part is, like you say, people are spending $85 at a competition to sign their kid up. Well, you know, if you're a competitive coach, you know what's getting ready to happen. It forces you to be teaching techniques that you shouldn't have to be teaching the yellow belts. And not only that, it takes away from what the black belt means, because now you've got a yellow belt doing techniques, or not, and it's not techniques, because the techniques are pretty much the same. It's just the way they're executed as a black belt. But the kata is presented for black belt. So now you've got a yellow belt thinking, hey, I don't really need a black belt because, hey, I'm already doing black belt katas, and I'm not even a black belt. So it takes away from the black belt, and it also takes away from those kids that train at traditional schools that are just teaching them, you know, like in Taekwondo, say, Kian, you know, Rai, things like that, the forms that are in their belt rank, and, you know, it takes away from them. So,
well, here's the thing. Here's the thing, Wolverine. Here's the real problem here. The real problem are the black belt judges who allow that student to perform a black belt kata in an orange belt, green belt, blue belt, white belt division. And the only way that we can talk about it, we can fuss about it, which people realize that that's what we do. But if we don't have a solution, then it's just blowing hot air. And here's the solution. And you and I have talked about this deeply, along with some of my mentors. If you have a list of mandatory black belt katas, and I say mandatory, black belt katas that everyone basically knows, like Korean would be Gay Beck, Chung Mu, and Korean, Japanese katas, Kukai, 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 Jihan, and you know, Okinawa kata, Super Impri, Tetsu, whatever. So you have these mandatory black belt katas that if a yellow belt, orange belt, green belt, blue belt, white belt gets out there and performs one of these katas, then the black belt looks at that list, and if they say it, then they're automatically disqualified. Not warned, but disqualified, because they should know not to do an advanced black belt kata in an underbelt division. Now, brown belt, God bless them. Let them do an advanced kata, because brown belts, as you know, are very dangerous. They're hungry for black, and they should have the knowledge of advanced kata. But anything below green belt, no. No. And just the idea of having, how do you feel about having katas that the black belts would know, even if they didn't know how to perform them, but understand the name of them, that go along with the particular cultures of these people? Now, American, here's the thing. You got one problem, though. You got eclectic American kata, which is all these different moves and all these stuff put together. So you really wouldn't have a name for that. But if someone went out there and did Super Impri in a green belt division, no.
Well, those katas should fall into contemporary anyway. I said a lot of those katas should fall into contemporary anyway.
Yes.
The collective, you know, they should fall in. Because, I mean, you know, but the thing of it is what the judges should be judging on is even if they do a simple kata, like in Taekwondo, Kian or something like that, they should be judging on the power, the execution of technique, the intensity.
But here's the thing.
You know,
here's the thing. You know, when you say Korean kata, which I am not a Korean black belt, but I remember I hated teaching Taegun, Taegye, Tosan, Wanyo, Yogurt. I hated people in cottage because I was not a Korean stylist. I didn't enjoy it, but it was part of the format that I had to teach at the time. And those are the beginning forms of the Korean stuff. But my point is that every black belt should know the difference between basic kata, an intermediate kata, and, of course, black belt kata. And they allow these children to go out there and perform black belt kata in the green belt, orange belt, even white belt divisions, and they still give them a high score. So,
well, and what's bad about it is some of the rules for underbelt katas in some of the circuits, underbelt katas are not allowed to do jump front kick in their kata, but if they do a black belt kata, then they can do a jump kick. Well, that's saying because they're doing a black belt kata, but that's technically breaking the rules, so they still don't disqualify them because they're doing a black belt kata, but the rule says no jump kick. So, you know, you're telling a kid that they can't throw a jump kick unless they're doing a black belt kata, and then if they do a black belt kata, it's okay to break the rule, which that's just crazy. I mean, that's absurd.
Said, hopefully people like Mr. Doss, who's now the president of the NBL, and other people who have authority positions will understand that this is the problem. And because, like you said, it goes back to the parents who pay $85 a division and then an additional $25 per division. It's still money wasted if the child doesn't compete against someone of their own stature.
And it's also wasted if you don't, as a competitive instructor, you're pretty much setting your kid up for failure unless you go ahead and teach them that black belt kata so that they are equipped to compete on the circuit, because if not, their parents are just losing. So you have two choices. You go ahead and bite the bullet and you teach them the kata, or you just tell them not to compete in that division if you want to hold to the morals and just not have them compete in those divisions, you know. That's what you're looking at. Or you just go ahead and have them waste the money, so you got three choices, and they go ahead and go in with a underbelt kata, and then, you know, they take a chance on competing against someone with a black belt kata. You know, so that's the choices. So, or people band together and start cleaning it up and saying, okay, underbelt, you're not allowed to do, like we say, this list of katas, you're not allowed to do it. And that's pretty simple. That's a pretty simple thing.
Well, it is simple, but, it comes down to TMR. And I've taught you this through the years that you're my student. And that TMR means too many rules. And when you have too many rules, people have a tendency to just kind of whatever. So, but that's what we have the Wolverine for, and that's what we have Professor Gary Lee. We always talk about what we say, and we mean what we say, and we say what we mean. So thank you so much, Wolverine, for being on this segment.
You're very welcome,
and
sir.
I can't wait to come back next week. And by the way, to Team PVT and all my students and my friends and my family, congratulations to the incredible first place win at the U.S. Open. Congratulations to you.
Yeah, we absolutely had a ball at the U.S. Open, and the Sword and Bow took care of business.
I leave you with this. Make sure that Billy Newman is ready, because I'm about ready to introduce something that's going to knock his socks off. I'm doing something for Billy Newman that's going to be new. So stay tuned and listen, okay? Here we go. Hey, guys, I just finished with the Wolverine, my dear friend. But listen, I got some really, really important news. Black Belt Magazine said that Gary Lee has pushed the limit to the outer limits this time. And I'm explaining to you. The Sports Karate Museum presents The Power of Women, September the 28th and 29th at the Hilton Galleria, the beautiful Hilton Galleria. The Leaving Legend Celebrity Roast of Mikey Rowe Moore. That's right. Kata War in his third year. And introducing the Jim Harrison Black Belt Three-Man Tag Team Challenge that night for the show. Now, you're just 1 inch at a time and 1 inch closer to the goal of the Sports Karate Museum, and that is put together an all-women champion black belt testing board of 27 women now, hand-picked ladies of distinguished honor and reputation. In no particular order are the ladies invited to sit on this historic moment in American karate history. Never been done before, an all-women board. We have asked Ms. Linda Denley, probably one of the best all-time fighters of all time in sport karate. This fellow Sabat, the first national woman's sport karate champion. Charlotte Hoffman Emerson, known for her fight with Marianne Buermanez in Hawaii and her reputation in Texas. Miss Karen Slasher, Qigong Master and Goju Fanatic. Karen Eden Herdman, fellow radio talk show host and Master Teng Su Doman. Marty McDonald, the wife of Bill McDonald. Vicky Morrow, one of the true legends of sport karate from North Carolina. Chris Minshew, NBL world champion. Tammy Sanders Lee, master instructor. Tammy Whalen, NBL world champion. Miss Jenny Cliff, international world champion. Deanie Palamo, one of the best karate fighters we've ever had out of Texas. Danielle Dixon, the one and only Danielle Dixon, former NBL world champion. Sheila Morris, master instructor in black belt. Carol Perini, one of Chuck Norris's original black belts, and under the Bushidokan and Johnny Murphy, world champion. Joanna Needham, the first motorcycle police officer woman in America, former rated fighter. Mary Powell, number one best woman fighter under Texas in the early 60s under Mr. Ed Daniel. Rosalie Ellis under Bill McDowell. Mr. Bill McDonald, I apologize. Kathy Scarlello, one of the pioneers of sport karate. Kirsten Constable, two flat belts under Mr. Billy Blanks. They will be here. Pamela Hudson, one of the national champions under Mr. Buddy Hudson. Ashley Wood Tyler, six-time Golden Greek winner. Regina Thompson, the only woman to ever win four Super Grand World Championships, Grand Championships. And Gracilia Casillas, pioneer in Filipino kickboxing and fighting way before there was equipment. And Cindy Peterson, Kaji Kenpo legend. The Power of Women, protecting the history one warrior at a time, September the 28th and 29th. For more information, please contact the Sport Karate Museum at 713-483-0476. And remember, the Women's Symposium, which will be Friday, September the 28th, is going to be amazing. Having women architects, lawyers, doctors, principals, assistant principals, teachers, karate champions, this incredible group of women, September the 28th in Houston, Texas. Please get your ticket for that amazing event at 713-483-0476. Well, I'd like to come back with my dear friend, Mr. Mike Fillmore. Mike, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Well, you know, Mike, I appreciate you being on the show. And one of the neat things about the show is I get to do a game that I invented back 2 years ago. It's called the Legends Name Game. And I'm going to throw some names at you. And you got 2 minutes to kind of talk about them, how they influenced your life, or if you like them or if you don't like them. I don't care. I mean, just be able, it's called a Legends Name Game. You ready to play it with me?
Let's go.
Chuck Norris.
Chuck Norris. My boss man. He's one of the nicest people that I've ever met. Great sense of humor. Great vision. It's a Kickstart program. Great heart. Getting the shirt off of the back. Very good man. Like I say, he's a visionary. There's a lot of people or a lot of children who have better lives because of his vision and initiative, and it's really changing the world.
Well, what about his better half that nobody ever talks about, which I think is just an amazing woman, Gina Norris? Have you got to meet her and talk to her a little bit?
Gina, I mean, I think that the two are a great pair. You know, I think that if Gina wasn't there to stop him, he'd give everything away because that's the kind of man he is. But
yeah.
Gina's a great person. We get along real well. We're about the same age. She's got a great sense of humor, too. I love it when we're get to be around each other and talk. She's a great person as well.
That's
great team.
I'm gonna throw an old name at you, someone that kind of changed the course of Texas karate, Joe Alvarado. About Joe.
Joe Alvarado, I've known Joe Alvarado a very long time. Good man. One of the true Austin pioneers. It was he and Abel Varell, who had the very first martial arts schools in Austin at the time. And so he's a very good guy. He's an instructor of my late great friend, Rooster Mackin, instructor of my very first instructor, Lewis Arnold. Great man. He owns a trophy shop here in town that he supplies most of the martial arts with. He's a great guy. Stand-up man. He says what he means, and he means what he says.
I remember back in 1981, he pulled me to the side and said, "Hey, you're the Hawaiian guy everybody's talking about, but I'm telling you something, I can make that reverse much better." And he showed me how to turn my hip into it, with which I did a little bit, but I never put my foot with the pivot. You know, I thought about it, but I never really did it. And when he showed it how to pivot and then the hip, everything together, it would add 3 more inches to it, and I would drill people, man. I mean, and the other thing about Joe, I remember, and you remember this too probably, he was the first guy to put a boxing ring up for us, remember? We could fight out of a boxing ring in the finals that night. I thought that was cool as heck, you know? Until Zip White knocked me out of the ring one night. Did you ever get knocked out of it before? I got knocked out of it a few times. But that's a long fall, 3 feet from the top of the ring, man. You mentioned Rooster. We lost a great guy this year. You know, I've got one of the fighters that's fighting in this 3-man tag team match. His name is Kevin Roy. I don't know if you remember him or not. He's one of my original black belts. He's going to dedicate his fight to Rooster this year at the Legends. So I miss Rooster, and I'm glad you mentioned him. Thank you for doing that. Hey, let's go on to another great guy that's probably Austin well-known, and we mentioned him earlier, and I want to talk about it because I think he was a great fighter, and that's Moses Williams. Talk about Moses.
Moses, he's a good friend of mine. We had a rivalry going back down there in the 80s. I don't know what
we all
about,
did,
but we loved
we it. All did.
Oh, we like to
we
hit
did.
Each other hard, but
yeah,
Moses,
yeah, we all did.
A great guy, Fire Dragon Martial Arts. My heart goes out to him because he lost one of his back black belts, as I say, in this Austin bombing, Draylen.
Yeah,
and the city has really stepped up and recognized him as being a great person. He had a bright future, and you know, it was a shame that he was cut down in that way by a sick individual. So
absolutely.
Moses had a
now
lot
Moses
to do
still
with guiding
teaches, right?
Right.
He still teaches? He has a tournament?
Yeah.
He still teaches? Okay, cool.
Pardon me?
Hey, I want to hit you with something right in the middle of the Legends game, and I know you're an AOK producer, and, you know, I'm real excited about this year. I've been actually been asked to put together the Golden Greek reunion for your state finals December the 15th and 16th in Galveston, Texas.
Mm-hmm.
And here's, you know, my show is called Parts Unknown, so I'm going to hit you with a question that's pretty hard. I know that this year 9 or 10 producers walked out of the AOK, and with the guidance of the new president, D.E. Chambers, he not only got some new people involved, like Zufi Ahmed and Tony Carters and some other people, but you have an AOK tournament. Now, the theme is AOK Strong. Why is it AOK Strong, and what's the difference between AOK of 30 years ago and the difference is it now? I mean, we're going for our 40th anniversary this year, and it's a lot to celebrate. But Have you seen the change, and how can it be better now with the new producers and what's going on? What has Mr. Chambers got planned for all of us?
Well, it's just, I guess you could call it a paradigm shift. You know, I started off in the AOK all those years ago, and for a while I left the AOK because I didn't feel it was being progressive enough to keep up with the other circuits. Because, you know, I was went on to compete at NBL, WMO. I won world championships in the NBL and the WMO and several other circuits. And the AOK wasn't really helping myself and others develop as a national, international competitor. And that's why I walked away. But now Mr. Chambers coming back in, he's focused on doing that. That's one of the things that, if you see this year, one of the rules we changed was taking away the groin kick.
Yeah.
If we're going to, you know, no one, if we're going to become a bigger, better organization, you know, we're not going to find sponsors with the highlight reels of somebody, a little boy getting kicked in his groin. That's we're not going to find sponsors.
You know, I've got two things to say to you, and one is that, you mentioned Mr. Chambers. One of the reasons why I walked away after I won the Golden Greek and I went into my career in USKF and NBL and NASCAR and so forth is because, again, exactly what you said. But now you've got Anthony Allen and Larry Fields and Daniel Perez and Derek Wilson and, of course, Dee Chambers. And if you remember, Mike, because I'm a little bit older than you, I think, I remember those kids, when they were 9, 10, 11 years old. And for them to now be leaders in the largest sport quality association in Texas, how could I say no? How could I say not help them? Because they're the kids that watched me grow up in Texas. And so that's the reason why I've done what I'm doing in helping the AOK with this 40th anniversary. And, you know, also I believe that the AOK is the strongest organization for kids, literally in the state. No matter who else has come in, AOK was the first and still the largest for kids in the state.
Right.
And you know as well as I, you know, I'm a kid advocate, always have been, through the Six Flags shows, to whatever. It's always helping that one kid. And, you know, I believe that guys like yourself who do tournaments that care, not just to make the dollar, which we all have to do to survive, but really care about the future, it's going to make the difference. And that's why I believe the AOK is focusing on change. And that's why I'm involved. So I'm proud to work with you, Mike. And I'm glad that we get to pump this show. Now, you just had your tournament. When is your next tournament? When's your next event?
The next one will be next year about the same time. I know that we're going to do some couple of adjustment with the calendar this year because we had with so many people coming on and coming back into the AOK because I like to say myself came back into the AOK and also my good buddy Pete Ramirez. Just unfortunately we had our event on the same day and we weren't able to support each other. But going forward next year, we're going to work that out, and I can't give you a date at this time until that is worked out, but it'll probably be around
okay.
the same time.
Well,
and
you mentioned having a tournament on the same day. Who would dream that it would be a tournament on the same weekend and the same day in Texas along the country? Right now in any given state, there'd be four or five events sometimes in one city.
Oh,
it's
yeah,
crazy.
Yeah. But, you know, that's how popular the sport is, and I'm glad that we're doing
yes.
it. But, so, you know, it'll be in May next year.
Well, you mentioned one more thing that I'm very, very, very personal and vocal about, and you said about groin kicks. As you know, as well as you and I both, we lived to kick the groin back then because there would be 2 points to kick the groin. And you know, we'd backhand the groin. We'd do anything we could to just score the point. But today, in 2018, if you're sitting across from someone, Mr. Fillmore, and he's got 3 kids, two boys and 1 little girl, and he's going to write a $1,000 check to you, And he says, Mr. Fillmore, I noticed that you got trophies there. Tell me a little bit about, you guys do sport karate? He said, yes, I do. We're part of the AOK, and here are some of the points that we can do. You get 1 point for any punch to the body, and you know, you get 2 points for any kick to the body. And by the way, some of the parts that you can hit is the face with control and body with control, and you get to kick the groin. And that man's going to say, whoa, Mr. Fillmore, wait a minute. My son gets awarded points to kick the groin area? And you say, yes, he gets 2 points. Wait a minute. My daughters, if they compete, if they kick that private area, they get points too? Yes, it's 2 points if they kick that area. Oh, whoa, wait a minute. What sport in the world awards points to kick in the private area? Well, we do here in Texas. It's called the AOK. So that's why that rule had to be changed. Okay?
Right.
Because he's going to look at you and he's going to go, Mr. Fillmore, I like you and I believe in your program, but I'm going to take my kids to gymnastics. And he's going to give that $1,000 to a gymnastics instructor instead of a karate instructor, because there's no way that a parent that's responsible for their children are going to allow their kids to be kicked in the groin and be awarded points for it. And in 2018, now in 1960s, 70s, 80s, and in the early 90s, yeah, we lived for the groin. But those days are gone. I agree with you 100%. Absolutely. So my 2 cents. Hey, you need to come to a legend. You need to come to a Legends and experience Kata Wars and the Jim Harrison's fighting. What are you doing in September?
What date is that? I do have a couple of things. That's a
no. There's
very
no AOK tournament because I plan around the AOK. There's
uh-huh.
You know, I own that weekend, September the 28th and 29th, the last week of September, and it's a weekend. I do Kata Wars and I do the Women's Symposium and 3 seminars. And you know, if you decide to come, Michael, I sure would like to honor you. You deserve it.
Okay, I have a couple things. Yeah. You know, I am involved with the Kata Kimbo Association. I have a second degree black belt in Kata Kimbo under Tony Morrell, who is under Dan Baker and the Tony Lasso system. So I do some seminars with them. I do have some other. I've got to look at the Kickstart calendar because we do have some tournaments.
Okay.
So I'm going to look into that. But, yeah, I know Cindy's going to be there.
Yeah.
She told me she was going to be
cool.
there.
Yeah. Am I going to see Universal on the 16th, the 17th, 18th? Event?
Yeah, I'm on the board of directors, so I'm always there every year for the last 10 years.
Okay, I'll see you there then because I'm doing the seminar and the booth and everything. And cool.
That'd
right.
be good.
Well, thank you
That'll
for
be
being
good.
On the show tonight. It really meant a lot. And like I said, I appreciate you all the information and detailed information that you talked about. How would someone get in touch with you in the Austin area if they wanted to learn karate from Mike Fillmore?
I guess the best way for anyone to do that right now, because right now I teach for the Kickstart program, but I also teach at the Tendo Buddhist Temple in Hutto. And soon I'll be possibly opening another school in Buda, Texas. So right now, I guess, on Facebook would be the best way to contact me or go by the Tendo Buddhist Temple in Hutto, Texas.
Now, the Buddhist Temple, that's where the Buddhist monks are and Wusa and all that stuff, huh? Cool.
Yeah, it's a working Buddhist temple with the monks there. I guess you could call me their fighting monk.
Now, how did you get involved with that?
I one of my students, one of my black belts, I guess for lack of a better term, he is like a deacon in the Buddhist religion, I guess. And he is over a lot of the programs there at the temple. and he asked me if I would come and teach martial arts there with him. And I said that I would, so I've been teaching martial arts there at the Buddhist temple for about, I think it's going on 2 years now.
That is really cool. Because those guys are some serious dudes. Back in the day, I remember Fifty Long and took my dear friend Victor Chen. Remember Victor? And they brought in the Shaolin monks from China, and they actually stayed at my home. Three of them did. And it was very much a wild moment. Those guys are the real deal dudes. Really interesting stuff. So, well, thank you again, Mike, for being on the show. And I hope you hope you the best in whatever you do. And I'll see you at the Universal Martial Arts Hall of Fame August 16th, 17th, 18th. Okay, buddy?
Looking forward to it.
God bless you. Hey, we've been with Mike Fillmore from Kickstart and talking with him, and we've had a great show tonight. But don't remember, or do remember, black and blue are the colors chosen for all those little toes you might have broken. Texas casual is the attire, which means wear whatever you desire. Call 713-483-0476 for your reservations for the one and only Living Legends 26 and the professional. That's right. That's the one and only Women's Symposium. It's going to be so much fun, September the 28th and 29th. For more detailed information, please contact Professor Gary Lee at gmail.com or look us up on www.sportkaratemuseumarchives.com. That's right. We're going to be in your home next week with our special guest, Mr. Johnny Thompson. And Johnny Thompson is one of those old performers. I'm just kidding, Johnny. Johnny is a United Air Force veteran and dear friend of the museum. Then on the 24th, we'll be having Carmichael Simon, the original Carmichael Simon from the Junior Institute. And then the 31st, Miss Ashley Wood, six-time Golden Greek winner. In August, Mr. Robert Parham, producer, director, actor, talking about his new movie. And then the one and only Black Dragon Fighting Society member, Mr. Johnny Hunter, on the 14th of August. On the 21st, one of my favorite all-time women competitors, Mr. Rodney McKee, who has White Tiger, the largest karate school in America. Amazing how big her school is. On the 28th, Mr. Larry Fields, AOK, world-renowned breaker, and that end up August. September, on the 4th, Dr. Cameron Jahabzadeh, going from white belt to master black belt to surgeon and saving lives in Minnesota. On the 11th, we'll be in Bangkok, Thailand. That's right. Mr. Sifu Mark Jerry will be live from Bangkok, Thailand, talking about his adventures, and we'll be going from his adventure in Thailand, North Carolina, to Texas. That's going to be a heck of a show. The 16th in September, before during the September, I've got a surprise. I'm not going to tell anybody until we get closer, but it will knock your socks off. Of course, on the 23rd, the Artifact Show right before the Living Legends 26. That's come our schedule coming up. Thank you for paying attention to us on a Tuesday night. Then it's coming to your home. Let me share with you Sport Karate memories with the archives. And I'm excited about everything that we're doing, from the book to the events to the tournaments to being part of the history. And as we say every Tuesday night, mahalo and aloha.
Hi, it's Joe Corley with a quick offer for all of our friends here at the AMAA. As you know, we never get a second chance at our first impression. So for those of you who could use some help with your first impression on your Facebook pages, on Instagram, and on your website, we're offering a special discount here from our social media marketing warriors team. take a note if you can and check Facebook at Joe Corley's Social Media Marketing Warriors page. Take a quick look at some of our videos, then reach out to me on Messenger and I'll be happy to put together a personalized sample video for you so you can see what the high definition video will look like online. That's Joe Corley's Social Media Marketing Warriors, and in your message mention AMAA discount. I look forward to speaking soon. All the best.